This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Late last week, a group called Fair Tax Michigan filed petition language with the Secretary of State's office to begin a ballot drive for a graduated income tax. The group's made up of Democratic activists. They'd like to ask voters for a constitutional change that would end the state's flat tax and replace it with a tiered income tax system. Here to talk about what that means is Eli Isagerry, campaign manager for Fair Tax Michigan. Eli, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks so much for having me, April.
What would this change?
Yeah, so we're looking at moving our system to a more fair tax. So anyone that makes under $175,000 a year would see some tax relief, and folks making over $175,000 for individuals and $350,000 for joint earners would pay a little bit more, just to make sure we have the resources needed in Michigan to fund things that we need, our schools and our infrastructure and water.
Do you have an estimate on how much money this would raise for the state?
So the language says that it would need to come up with about $1.5 billion in new funding for the state, and that would go directly to schools and for our infrastructure, including water infrastructure.
Well, why does your group feel that this particular approach, a graduated tax, is the best way?
Yeah, so more states than not have a graduated income tax, and with us, in the state of Michigan, seeing we have less money year over year to fund the things that really make our state competitive, it's one of the solutions that we found needs to move forward. The legislature in Lansing has refused to take a serious stab at fixing this problem, and folks across the state are just really fed up. And until we have real movement, we know that our schools will continue to be underfunded, and we'll have more problems with PFAS and lead in the water across the state.
Anyone who's ever lived in a state with a graduated tax can tell you that they don't exactly end battles over state funding for priorities. What makes you think that this is going to be an improvement on the way some of the big infrastructure issues like roads and clean water are handled right now?
We know we need about $3.7 billion more per year to adequately fund our schools and, repair the worst roads in the nation. And we see, this continual problem with our water. So this won't go completely there to fix the almost $4 billion hole that our funds need, but this is a strong step in the right direction. And, folks in Flint and, across the state dealing with PFAS, they know that the government in Lansing is not doing anything to actually fix these problems. And so this is a real solution that really can have a huge impact on the state.
Do you expect that there would be a risk of turning out Republicans or at least fiscal conservatives in a year when turnout will be key for things like the presidential contest?
Well, I think we're seeing over and over across the state communities step up to fund issues locally where the state and federal government have failed. So I don't think that would be a core driver to bring people out. I think more importantly, folks will see this as a solution to some longstanding problems, and more folks are ready for real change. And we're kind of sick and tired of waiting for those in Lansing to come up with a solution when they just want to fight instead of coming up with real tangible solutions that can lead to better outcomes with our roads and our education system.
Are you at all concerned that the legislature might come in and change what you've written?
Not really, no. It's written out that the legislature would have time to move forward with a bill, and if they do not, then the governor would be allowed to move something through executive order. So, this really makes our state legislature do the job that we've sent them to Lansing to do. And again, if they're unwilling to come up with a solution like they have been for the last 10 years, 15 years, then the governor can actually do something. And so we think this is a real solution.
Well, there is some precedent for the legislature passing something and then amending it. What's to stop them in this case?
To stop them is a governor with a backbone right now. We saw what happened last time with one party controlling the entire process. And thankfully, that is not the situation we're in right now.
Eli Isagere is the campaign manager for Fair Tax Michigan. Eli, thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me, April.
Let's get a little context now on how we arrived where we are with the state's tax structure. We turn to Charles Ballard, professor of economics at Michigan State University and sometime commentator on economic issues for Stateside. Hey, Charlie.
Glad to be here.
Why does Michigan have a flat tax?
Well, it's written into the 1963 Constitution. We are one of seven states that have a flat income tax where every dollar of taxable income is taxed at the same rate. That rate is currently 4.25%. There are 36 states that have a graduated income tax, like the federal government's graduated income tax, where the rate on an additional dollar of taxable income increases as you go up the income scale. So it's a matter of history, and I guess it was the result of discussions among the people in the Constitutional Convention back more than a half a century ago.
So what was going on in Michigan at the time that made the constitutional change seem like a good idea?
Well, I was in fourth grade at that time, and I didn't live in Michigan at that time, so I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I think it would come out of the same political trade-offs that have led to graduated income taxes in some other states and flat taxes in other states. I mean, it has to do with the political power of those who want a less progressive system versus the political power of those who want a more progressive system. And also, people's views about the trade-off. If you make a more progressive system, there is the possibility that you would have more disincentives to have different types of economic activity. I think those within the range that we're talking about for what the rates might be, those are relatively small, but it's a legitimate concern to think, you know, higher rates on more affluent people might discourage some kinds of activity. So I think it probably came out of that trade-off between values about how unequal or equal the income distribution should be versus other considerations.
What's the history of the state's relationship with this? Can you recap whether there's been a serious push in modern history to reconsider the way tax rates are figured?
Oh, yes. There have been discussions for years about the possibility of a graduated income tax. What we have in Michigan, since the sales tax is somewhat regressive, we have a tax system that is overall regressive. In other words, it takes a higher percentage of income from the low-income people. And given that the massive increase in income inequality is one of the biggest features of our lifetime, not only in Michigan but across most of the United States, people are concerned about finding ways to even things out to make it better for those at the bottom of the scale. And so, you know, there have been lots of discussions. Now it looks like we're going to have an actual ballot initiative. But it's been on the public policy back burner for decades.
There have been times in this country when people like Steve Forbes have argued with varying degrees of success for a national flat tax with, you know, with the understanding that it would simplify the federal tax code considerably. And yet here Michigan is on the cusp of a discussion about creating more nuance and arguably more complication in the system. Are there economic reasons why a more complex tax system is considered of benefit to a healthy economy?
I want to draw a distinction between the graduated rate structure and complexity. Many folks, including Steve Forbes, they would tout their proposals for a flat tax in terms of reducing the complexity. But most of the complexity, in fact, almost all of the complexity of the federal tax system has nothing to do with the fact that we've got graduated rates. It has to do with the fact that we've got various exemptions and exclusions. And each of those exemptions and credits and deductions has an army of lawyers and lobbyists fighting for it. And so it's not at all clear that we could get rid of all of that complication. It would be nice if we did. But that's kind of a separate issue from the graduated rate structure. I think we could adopt a graduated rate structure in Michigan with only minuscule changes in the complexity. Because basically, instead of having one number, you would just have a tax table like you have in the federal at the federal level. And a lot of it would go through a computer anyway if you're doing your taxes through TurboTax. So it would not increase, would not have to increase the complexity of the tax system.
Is there any reason to think that Michiganders of means, who wish to have the most advantageous tax plans possible, might not find some way around it if the state did change its structure?
Well, often it's suggested that some affluent Michiganders may leave the state. I think it's possible that some will. The question is how many. I think that those numbers would be relatively small. I remember once I was at an event where a speaker who was against a graduated income tax said that if we had that, affluent people would leave the state. And I said, so, Rich, does that mean that if we adopt it, you would move? And he said, no, that, I would not move. So I'm not sure how big the effect is. It's something to think about. I will tell you that my wife and I have been blessed enough to be relatively well off, and we would pay more under a graduated tax. However, we're not planning to move. So I think different people would respond in different ways.
Well, the federal and state tax systems are
right.
Different beasts with different goals.
Yes, although one way in which the state of Michigan takes advantage of the federal system is that we sort of piggyback you. The start for your state income tax is your adjusted gross income from the federal. So we simplify things in that way. But when a billionaire says, let's have the flat tax, and says, oh, it'll simplify things, I'm thinking, well, yes, and it would also dramatically reduce the tax liability of billionaires. So there may have been just a touch of self-interest in the Forbes proposal.
Charles Ballard is a professor of economics at Michigan State University.